Have you recovered yet? Welcome back to Under the Abbey Stand. It's the preview show. After a nice weekend off, we are back previewing Cambridge United's next league fixture away to Northampton Town. Away local derbies. What could go wrong? I'm Jordan Warland. Joining me on the preview show this week is my good pal, Matt Caspel. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, feel nice and rejuvenated after our break, right? It's been important, I think, to let it fester for a while and then start to forget about it. And I guess we move on. As you say, another big local derby. So,
yeah. I guess, yeah. It's kind of just disappointing, isn't it? Going to Northampton, knowing that they hate Borough as well. I feel a little bit kind of shameful going there, because I reckon they probably would have wanted to see us win 5-0 and not the other way around. So it's kind of just adds to the awkwardness of the other weekend. But good for them. They did beat Borough earlier in the season. A really fortuitous last minute goal. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember that.
Go look it up on YouTube.
That was
really
funny. Hilarious though, wasn't it? So yeah, I guess it swings and roundabouts, and we're not going to lose to both of them twice, are we? Shit.
I don't know. Let's get the post chat out of the way.
Ugh.
Nice and early. Have you recovered? Do you think you'll ever recover? I mean,
it's one of those funny things, isn't it? Like, it obviously did the pod the day after. That was pretty tough.
That pod was brilliant, by the way. I thought you guys did amazing.
Did quite well. It was quite upbeat, really, wasn't it? Yeah, I think we'd all just sort of pushed into that, like, almost.
And of course, your anecdote got a shout out on by Max Rushton on the Guardian Weekly.
Huge. I think, yeah, huge.
Didn't do it by name. I mean,
nah, that's okay.
Put some respect on that Matt Caspel name, I say.
I reckon he's, you know, maybe just trying to tip our favour with the FSA, you know, see if we can win that award somehow, despite it being a public vote. Obviously, thanks to everyone who voted for us. Have I recovered? I think not really. I think that's the kind of wounding incident that will still be being talked about in like 10 or even 20 years time. Like, I think it is one of those like big historic zeitgeisty moments where it's going to linger for a while. The best thing I think from my perspective anyway, was to have the break. The break has been really nice, to be honest. Actually, I've been able to mentally park it. The whole, you know, even Cambridge United, not really think about for the last sort of week or so. Now we turn our attention back to the game. I don't know, it sounds a bit negative. I've just got that lingering sense of dread about Saturday, because it would be great to go there and win. You sort of say you're like banishing the, you know, exorcise the ghost and move on and get a good away performance and, you know, score a goal away. It's been a little while for us. But the dread is there, because obviously if we go there and it's bad again, you know, I don't think we'll hit that Peterborough level. I hope, God help us if we do. But if you go there again and it's another sort of negative result, negative performance outcome, then it's really starting to feel quite painful. We've got to go into then what would become a very big Tuesday night at home against Lincoln. And suddenly I think, you know, a poor result for us on Saturday, and you're really then looking at the league table and starting to get a bit nervous, eh?
I didn't want to have this chat. I didn't want to go down this relegation rabbit hole. So I'll say one thing and then we'll just divert quickly back to more positive times. But it's I think I'm right in saying it's one win in 11, which is obviously
it depends. I've got the positive cuts.
Obviously not good form.
If you look at the 10 game form, we were 21st. If you look at the 5 game form, I think we're 16th. So there is a weird world where you can make a case to say that our form is improving in some sense. The thing is, I mean, it's fair. The Peterborough thing is really like damaging and painful. We've got an opportunity to move on Saturday. I think the nature of that performance and result has, it's making our, and to be fair, some of the performances and the goal shyness, which definitely is a big problem, all of it combined is making it feel like, because we're there and we're watching it, you feel like you're the worst team in the division. You feel like, God, we must be, you know, we must be terrible. We must be such worse. But we are 16th in the 5-game form table. There are so many clubs below us in the form table, including Northampton. whose fans will all be feeling very similar, right? They'll all be like, shit, what's going on? Like, Exeter have scored one goal in the last five games as well. Mm-hmm. You know, they have 1 point for the last five games. We have five. So there's enough to be positive about at the moment, whilst obviously, because we're looking at our own games, we're watching our own performances, enough to be, I guess, worried about as well, right?
Some great stats. Some great stats.
I've
and
been all over
there.
It.
That's love it. That has brought back my positivity. Ignore that one win in 11 comment.
It's ignore
get rid,
it. Yeah.
Get rid.
Well,
but it is. It is.
Yeah,
it is a big. Oh, well, I was just gonna say it's a big. It is a big double header, really, because like you would expect us to be competitive on Saturday, and you would expect us to be competitive on Tuesday. So if we could navigate this next however many days it is, a week or so, and pick up say like 4 points, 6 points, that's a really good response to get in an absolute trouncing.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, even though obviously it features a loss, but you would take 3 points as well, I think, to be honest. Just like keep ourselves grounded, push towards the points total that we need for the season. I guess this might be something that Walker says a lot, and I'm not sure I necessarily agree with it, but it feels like in the first half of the season, you care maybe a bit more about the performances and the points. You're okay, like, with the outcomes. I'm not sure I necessarily agree, so I think we just accept that we're on a mad scramble for 50 points or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, pragmatically, it would be great to go to Northampton and win. I've not seen a score away yet this season, so that would be nice. And if we don't score away on Saturday, then we will go 2 months in the league without scoring an away goal, because we are not back in away league action until the 9th of December. So it will have been on the day of Charlton away, it will have been 2 months since we scored away. That's not good, is it? Like,
why have you ruined all the good work that you did bringing
I know.
The positive stats with that one? I'm not sure I've recovered from Posh. I think there's a part that will take a long time to recover, and like Owen put in his match report, it's the kind of result that they're going to dine out on for decades, similar to how we have, winning their 5-1 back in the early 90s. And it's just something about five, isn't there, that makes it really, I don't know, really memorable. Because I've seen us lose at London Road 4-1, and I feel like that doesn't get spoken about as much, but. Yeah, I haven't fully recovered.
I think it's
I wasn't even sure, Matt, if I could do this part. I wasn't sure if I was ready to talk about Cambridge again.
But here we are.
We're trying.
Yeah, I say you've recovered. We managed to do it the day after. So, I guess it's definitely going to last a while, the impact of it, and it's going to be spoken about for a long time. But it's one of those things. If you go and get 4 points in the next two games, then. You can almost convert it to something quite almost comedic. If we go on a decent run of form and put another like 10 points on the board the next five or six games, we can look back on it and go, well, you know, all the cliches can come out and say, well, maybe it was the moment that turned our season around. And
I was going to say something similar. Like, this is probably being very naive, but there's a part of me that's thinking that the Borough result was so bad that maybe it could be some sort of like watershed moment, you know, it turns things around.
Haven't we've done this already once this season though? After Cheltenham, wasn't that supposed to be the big springboard? Like, I'm a bit worried about a team that by November is already having its second like need to have a massive rebound from a negative result. It starts to get a little bit, I don't know, you get a little bit concerned at that point.
Well, let's hope Saturday's not the third time that we're going to rebound and have that miraculous turnaround. What did you get up to on your non-football weekend last weekend?
I went to Florence. Yeah, I went to Italy.
Oh.
Bit of pasta, pizza. Please
tell me you took your wife.
Yeah. I thought, why not? You know, it's a Saturday. I thought about lying and saying that Cambridge were playing, but this was more important to spend time with the family. But no, I took the coward's way out and just admitted that international break means let's
actual
go do
international
holiday.
Break.
Break. It means international break. Yeah. So let's go and let's go. It's not very pram friendly, Florence. Not to digress too much from the important matters, but would
is
recommend.
Florence home of that really hipster team with the cool shirts? I can't remember their name.
Palermo. They
wear like black, green, orange. Oh, I can't remember their name.
Isn't that Verona?
Oh, it might be.
Venice. Where's Julian? Where's Julian when you need him?
Where's the pods Italian guy screaming at us about who it is? I just wondered if you maybe like converted and went and watched like the hipster Italian team, but no.
Thought family time instead. Yeah, not enough football probably.
My non-Cambridge United weekend was full of football anyway, which is quite an achievement given that the Prem was also not playing. But I did two different football sessions with Murray. So Saturday morning, we went to Football Fun Factory. And if you want to find out more about the owner, listen back to our special with Mr. Luke Chadwick anyway. And then on Sunday, I went to another similar thing just down the road from me. And I was convinced that at the end, one of the guys picking up their kids, I'm convinced it was James Brophy. He wasn't in the hall for the session, but he just picked up this woman and a kid and it looked just like him. So I think I had a little bit of Cambridge United even on a non-Cambridge United weekend.
Well, that's very exciting. Did he do anything very like Brophy-esque? Was he like sprinting?
Well, like not score a goal.
Sprinting down the corridor, but then like couldn't get his kid in the baby seat or something because it's just no end product or something. Kid just flapping around outside the car or no?
No, it did have a very fancy like sort of SUV, big car though, which also makes me think it was a footballer because it's a pretty spenny looking car. Anyway, stay tuned on UTAS for future weeks and I'll confirm if that's him or not at my kid's footballing class. We should probably talk about some Cambridge United stuff.
We should.
You mentioned earlier you've not seen an away goal this season.
No.
I also haven't seen one, but I don't go to a fraction of the away games that you go to. So that's not as good.
We've scored four, to be clear. So
two were in the Fleetwood game, right?
Two were in the Fleetwood game. So missed that one. And then Wigan and Burton, right? So I just so happened to have been tied up on other stuff on those weekends mostly.
Did you not watch Burton on the telly?
That doesn't count, does it, George?
It kind of counts.
You got to see it in the flesh.
It's Monday Night Football, Matt. Of course it counts.
I watched it on the telly. I thought about that one actually. That one, to be fair, the other two I couldn't go to because I was actually occupied. That one I just elected not to go to. So I can't really have no recourse. I have no reason to complain about not seeing the goal. I brought it upon myself, basically. And we're not scoring any, so, you know.
Perhaps if we had a lovely new training ground and facilities, it might aid the strikers. No, we have exactly that. Big news out of the club this week was they moved in, and it looks pretty cool.
Amazing.
I'm impressed.
Amazing. On the big, there's a screen. Maybe we'll get people on Twitter to tell us what they think it says afterwards, or X, as we now call it. On the screen when they do the weekly planner, obviously mm-hmm. got all the fixtures on there with little like magnety things for all the fixtures. Fleetwood apparently doesn't have a magnet because it's a cup game, so they've had to pen it in, which, you know, makes sense, but sure, they've still got the little magnet. Anyway, Fleetwood they penned in. But then the day before one of the games, which one is it? The day before the Oxford game, I think it is. No, which one is it? I'm looking at that. The day before the Bristol Rovers game, there's something written in blue pen. And I can't.
Wow,
I went
with this video. Like, did you just pause it to like zoom in and
Yeah, I'll show you. I've got it on my phone here. You can't really see it. But I paused it. Yeah, what does it say? A Kenabiri's son, something like that. I have no idea what it says, but I anyone who can decipher it and decode it and then send it out, we need to know, I think.
My favorite bit about the training ground announcements. Not the great facilities, not how amazing it looks, but a point that Owen pointed out to us, and it's that the rooms are all filled with these lovely big canvases of seminal, really important Cambridge United moments, glorious moments, you know, staying up on the last day, promotions, Wembley wins, and so forth. And then on one canvas, it's just Courtney Pitt wearing the special shirt that we wore for one game only when we lost to Torquay in the playoff final. It's just like, why is this on the wall? Why is this
That's
canvas
great.
Here?
That's inspirational.
I know he once nearly signed for Barcelona, but Is that an inspiration enough?
That's inspirational. The players are seeing that every day. And they, first thing they walk in, you got your McConnells, your Nee Jerns, and they're looking at that and they're like, that's Courtney Pitt, that is. Look at him. That you know they're saying it. You know, they're all like, oh, one day I hope I could be like Courtney Pitt. It's going to be great. I think my actual highlight, apart from my forensic analysis of the trying to decipher what was on the weekly planner, it's also got this amazing new like TV suite, these leather chairs and stuff. What do you think the first thing they watched on that TV was?
Oh, I didn't even thought about that. Amazing.
That's something that Peter are going to have on us for the rest of time, is that we christened our new TV suite in the training ground with a 5-0 thundering by Peterborough.
Two own goals and all that. Oh. Yeah. Where do you stand on this whole, there's people that question why we spent as much money on it as we have, and should we not have invested that on the squad, and if we go down, blah, blah, blah. I'm not taking that argument seriously, but I thought I'd give you an opportunity to comment.
I guess if there are people out there who are willing to spend millions and millions of pounds on this football club, I make no underestimation of what this has all cost. They can kind of do whatever they want, to be honest. Do you know what I mean? who am I, our fan base, to say to someone, why don't you spend more on X, Y, Z? Mm-hmm. It's also become very clear, and they've said it pretty frequently over the last couple of years, that the training ground has been a bit of a running joke, to be honest. Like, for a club that has developed so much on and off the field the way we have over the last 10, 15 years, the training ground has not, basically, at all. And you know, again, it's very true. It's where the players spend the majority of their time, is where we take the new signings. You know, you take them around the facilities, or potential new signings, you say, like, check this out, what do you think? And before, it's just like,
that's Courtney Pitt there,
and you go, that's Courtney Pitt, and that is obviously going to be the moment, the crystallizing moment. That
where's
people,
the pen? Let me sign now.
Yeah, get the pen. That's it, the Courtney Pitt. That's it. I mean, you know, it's a really important project. I think it's an extremely impressive facility. It should improve us. You know, it should hopefully inspire the players. If anything helps inspire them this week, then having a new, like, flash training facility should hopefully help this along. So I'm not sure I quite buy the argument that we necessarily need to be spending more. It also feels like, based on last season, it almost feels like we're approaching the season where we know there's another transfer window, and we will start the season with the best squad that we've been able to put together. But if we need to reinforce in January, then we will, which is exactly what we did last year, right? They obviously invested quite heavily last January. Mm-hmm. They made the right changes. I know we only stayed up by, you know, a very, very thin margin, but we did stay up. So I wonder if that's part of the thinking anyway, which is start the season with a good squad that you're happy with, but know that if we need to strengthen it, we can in January. Or plan A would be, you know, be 10th or 11th in January, and you don't have to, with however many points you would normally have by January, 30 or whatever it is, you need 32, and know that you don't necessarily need to invest too heavily in the squad, if that makes sense. So I'm certain if we need to, or we feel the need to invest in the squad, and there probably are some areas where we can already see we might want to make some improvements or deepen the squad, then they will do that in January for sure.
Let's talk about the fact that we didn't play last weekend, and not that, you know, we went to Italy and all the nice things. But do you think it would be better for the team not playing last weekend and having the extended break? I mean, Bonner post-match talked about how the squad were tired and lots of games and so forth. Or do you think it would have been more beneficial to have a game and have the opportunity to bounce back? However, we should probably caveat that by saying that opportunity would have come against one of the best teams in the league in Bolton, and a team I'm pretty sure are near the top of the form table. So maybe the form team of the league at the moment.
They are top of the form table.
I thought they were.
You're
not the only one that can look these things up.
That's it. I think the break is probably good. I think we know last season, during our very difficult run of form, the players obviously got an opportunity then to get a break. And by a break, I mean, actually were able to take like a week off and go on holiday. And we bounced back quite well from that. And that actually seemed to have a good impact on our form. You got to hope the same thing happens again. I think I would say, like, I know we're football fans. Obviously, everyone's very passionate about the club and United. And after that performance, everyone's like, you know, getting back on the training ground. They need to, it's a bit of carrot and stick, right? They need to suffer or whatever. They need to like really go through the mill and do a lot of running the week after. I think I would agree. There's a few things anyway. One is obvious. Some of the players have gone on holiday, which is fine. It's very clear they'd already planned for this when the international break was announced, just like I did. Maybe some of them are in Florence. Who knows? Didn't see James Brophy. Obviously, he was with you. but to me, it makes sense. You've got a bunch of blokes, mostly in their 20s, 30s, who during the football season, it's fairly like relentless, right? They don't really get a proper break at any stage during the entire season. They are just young men, you know. With a week off, you can actually have a few beers, relax, do you know what I mean? Have a takeaway, whatever it is, like just, you know, take your mind away from it, like we all have as a fan base, and then come back to work in a new training ground, ready to like get back up and running. I think, to be honest, the opportunity to take a break is something whenever we can do it with the players, we should, within reason, obviously, on an understanding that we've got time and space to get them all back into training, work on some new stuff, maybe a plan B, don't know. Venezia, that's who it is.
Based in Venice.
Yeah, okay. I said Venice, right? I said Verona. It was all the V-name teams.
That's been bugging me.
That's it. I'm glad we got to the bottom of it. I think the break is a good thing, right? But we're going to find out, obviously. But I also think it would be slightly like reductive thinking that if we lose on Saturday and the performance isn't good, that the break didn't make sense and they should have been training. And I just don't think that's quite how it works. So hopefully everyone's refreshed. Hopefully it's given us time to get more players back fit. Obviously we don't know because no press conferences for us these days. So
yeah, we're recording again before the press conference has either happened or been released on YouTube. Just the club trolling us even more. Thanks, yeah. Lads.
That's it.
No, I think you're right. I think the break is the better thing for us. Even if we don't win on Saturday, I think longer term that pause and that rest will help. And yeah, I know obviously we'll have to play Bolton at some point, but it didn't really feel like the game that you wanted to follow up after a 5-0 drubbing playing the league's form team, even if it was at home. And you know, we are better at home and all that. So going into Northampton on Saturday, what kind of changes in the approach and the style do you either expect to see or hope to see? So not talking about personnel directly and things like that, because we'll touch on that in a second. But yeah, what would you like to see different from Peterborough, other than obviously losing 5-0?
I think expect and hope are probably disparate, right? They're probably two slightly separate things here. I think we need to make a bit of a statement in terms of attitude and approach to the game. And usual caveat, I don't have any badges. I never will, to be honest. So everything I say is said from a pure football fan, layman perspective. But it feels to me intuitively like we have to approach that game. There's two things that have to change fundamentally. One is that I think we've got to have a high press, as in, I want to see our players literally running basically nonstop for the first 20 minutes of the game, literally like giving fouls away, winning the ball back high up the pitch, like in their third, applying a huge amount of pressure. It's a very taxing way to play football. I don't think it's something we'd be able to sustain for 90 minutes. But there is a sort of school of thought, which is if you overwhelm a team and put enough pressure on them the first 20, 30 minutes, you might score a goal, maybe even two. And then you can entirely flip your game plan and be completely different for the rest of the game, be much more conservative because you have earned the right with your goals and your buffer to do that. And I guess hand in hand with that, we need to see more positive intent, right? We need more bodies in the final third higher up the pitch. The two do kind of go hand in hand, because if you're putting a high press on, your theory should be you're going to retrieve the ball. And you should have bodies, because if you're going to press, you're pressing in a pack. So, no, it sounds like I got my badges, doesn't it?
I'm there with you, man.
What could go wrong?
That's exactly what I was going to answer as well. Like, not just the Borough game, but just recently in general, we've been so static in how we've sort of gone forward and attacked. And I want to see us more like how we were at the start of the season.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just
so
it's
the,
just
you know, the two goals we scored against Fleetwood, I know you weren't there to see them, but that kind of away day performance, that's what I kind of want to see on Saturday. And, you know, we'll hear from a Northampton fan in a moment, but he mentions how they sort of struggle to break down teams that sort of sit there in their banks of four. So I don't want us to go too defensive. I do want to see us sort of, yeah, up the intensity in terms of the pressing game and yeah, try and return to a bit more of a sort of attacking style that we had at the start of the season.
I just think we need to as well, from a sort of, it's almost reputational, right? Where we've come from the Peterborough game and not got any yellow cards and haven't really, no physical threat in any sense to them, either defensively or attackingly. I just kind of, again, it sounds a bit simplistic maybe, but I just want to see us like bowl them over a bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're pressuring their fullbacks. He's got the ball and he's taking a bit of a loose touch and maybe we don't win the ball, but the guy goes, you know, sounds a bit negative. Like, I don't want to see anyone get hurt, but I would like to see us like rough them up a bit. Just do something a bit different. And I also think, you know, in football, it's you have this game plan for the whole game and it's like, right, we're going to start this way and we're going to play this way. And I do feel like sometimes we are quite rigid with it. What's to stop us planning a really high aggressive, like a ridiculously high press, if you know what I mean? Like, the fullbacks on the halfway line, we're pushing really high just for the first 10 minutes of the game. And then we settle in some kind of different rhythm, just because, just trying to make the other team think, right? They're trying to make them question everything they've been told in the week about how we're going to set up and how we're going to approach the game. Like, we might want to play with inverted wingers, that's fine. But why not start them on the traditional side for the first 5 minutes of the game and then swap them over? Just stuff that the opposition isn't necessarily expecting us to do, that at least starts to raise eyebrows or get them asking questions or makes them blow their marking assignment or whatever it is. Like, just anything, like, time to get a little bit creative, I think, and just do some unusual stuff that is disruptive, just to see if we can have some kind of influence on the game. Because I think what you were saying there is right. We've just been a bit too passive, a bit on the back foot. And we have to accept, like, Peterborough are a really good team, right? We caught one of the best teams in the division on the best day they've had all season and probably the best day they will have all season. That's a really unfortunate thing. And the luck went against us. You sort of make your own luck, but deflected goals, offside goals, own goals, you know what I mean? Like, literally everything that could have gone wrong went wrong there. You can't plan for that to happen again. I just want to see some initiative, right? Just take the game to them. It sounds basic, but just like, as a football fan who hasn't seen a score away yet this season, like, obviously score would be nice, but just some excitement. Like, it feels like since the Reading game at home, where our form has broadly been quite poor, I think that probably is that 11 game spell, right?
Yeah.
The Reading game is a really exciting football match. You know what I mean? Abbey under lights. It was an intense game. It was quite physical. There was,
well, even just the goal, that yeah, kind of movement. Like, I want to see something like that.
Just a bit of excitement. Like, the Reading game itself, even if we had gone on to draw that game 0-0, let's say the ball is squared to a Kenneberry and he hits the bar or something, or the keeper saves it and we don't win the game, it's 0-0. You'd have walked away saying, like, it was an entertaining, like, quite a pulsating game. I was really invested, like, mentally and emotionally. I was, like, on the edge of my metaphorical seat, if that makes sense. And it just hasn't felt like that for weeks and weeks and weeks. It's just not been exciting. And I'm pragmatic, right? I would take, like, boring draws, which we've had a few of, and or just grinding out draws with the occasional win, and obviously some losses going to be thrown in there. I don't mind if it's not that exciting if we're getting the points return, but it gets problematic if you're not getting the points return and it's not exciting. Is a really, like, bad combination, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Let's break up our Northampton chat by hearing from an actual Northampton fan, and we'll know a little bit more about them, how they play, and players, and so forth. So, our good pal Tom spoke to Danny from a previous FSA winning podcast, It's All Cobblers to Me.
Right, the news fans, we're joined by Danny from It's All Cobblers to Me, a podcast covering everything relating to Northampton Town. Redemption time for the news, hopefully, after quite the afternoon in Peterborough. So we follow it up with a trip to Six Fields. You know, it's obviously not posh, but it's probably the second thing from it. So, Danny, back in League One after just a few years away. 19th at the moment, so you know, not in the bottom four. It's obviously very tight down there, as it often is. How are you feeling about the season so far?
Yeah, it's been a moment. We've had moments where we felt like everything's going wrong, but we've had other moments where we've put in some really good performances, got some good results. We've pretty much been in most games. There's only been a couple of occasions where we've not really been in games and competing. The Derby 4-0 defeat was pretty horrendous. For half the game at Bolton, we were just out of the game completely. But apart from that, there's not been many games where we've not been competing, where we've not been close to getting results out of. I think the Derby game is probably the only one where we've lost by more than a goal. So that probably says a lot. We're competing. We're pretty much as expected. We expected to be in a relegation battle. I think ask most Cobblers fans, they'll probably say, you know, staying up is the main aim this season, just to keep a little bit of momentum going finally in League One. So yeah, pretty much as we expected, and we've got some good moments along the way.
Yeah, it's never easy coming up. There's obviously a lot more resource to compete with, so I think that naturally makes things difficult. John Brady in charge then. I'm guessing he's probably pretty happy with the job that he's done. You know, obviously very unfortunate not to come up automatically a couple of years ago. Put it right last season and obviously now competing well in League One. How would you sort of summarise the job that he's done?
That's a fantastic job. I mean, he took over at the end of our last campaign in League One, I'd say for the last third of the season. Keith Curl had been in charge and it's just not gone right for him at all, having been promoted during COVID. And I think half of that season was COVID as well. And it just didn't work. Keith Curl tactics just didn't work in League One, surprisingly to not many people. But he came in, he's been around the local scene for quite a few years before that. So he's managed teams like Brackley locally, he's managed our youth team, has brought some young players through. He was assistant to Keith Curl as well. So it kind of made sense to bring him in. And I think at the time we just thought it's the cheap option. It's the one to keep us going to the end of that season and we'll see where we are in the summer. But what he showed in the last few months of that season was a passion, was just a different style of play, was that he was getting a lot out of his players. He got an awful lot out of players that we'd not seen anything from at all for the previous few months. And I think when he was appointed that summer, we all thought, actually, this is a decent step. We can go again. We can start again in League Two and really have a go. And he's properly someone where he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's brought the club and the fan base so close together again. He wears his heart on his sleeve nonstop. And in his interviews, everything, he's passionate about the club. And that's what you want. You probably get the same from Mark Bonner with him being a Cambridge fan as well. It's that local connection and that thing on the touchline that you need that kind of bridges the gap between the players and the fan base. It's been so good the last couple of years, and he's gone through some pretty awful times as well with some of his staff and things like that. And especially last season, there was a couple of tragedies off the pitch that he had to steer his staff through. And you could tell by the end of it, he was so emotional by the time that promotion came that, you know, we'd been through it all with him, and there is a proper connection there between the fan base and him. You know, tactically, sometimes he doesn't quite come good, but I think on the whole most people are pretty happy with him, and he performs on the sidelines, let's say. I'm not even sure whether he might have a ban on Saturday now, but we're still waiting to hear from that. But he'll get his fair say of bookings and stuff, so he'll behave pretty much like a fan on the touchline for the majority of the time, which winds opposition fans up no end. But yeah, we're still, I think, waiting to hear back, because he got booked in the Tin Pot Trophy on Tuesday night, and that was one of his third or fourth, I think, of the season. So I think he might not be there on Saturday.
There's a lot of similarities there then, I guess, with you know, obviously how your promotions come about, and obviously, you know, the sort of connection that it's formed between fans and players, which is, to be honest, identical to the conversations we were having when we came back into League One. You mentioned a little bit about his style of play and the sort of tactics he's implemented that have, you know, basically made you competitive at this level. What are they? How should we sort of expect Northampton to look on Saturday?
So we have been playing either 3-5-2 or like a 4-2-3-1. Majority of the time it'll be, it's not direct, but it's not tiki-taka either. It's kind of hybrid of the two. So he'll play at the right times, but at the other times he'll get it forward. He'll just try and get balls over to the wings as quickly as he can to try and get Mitch Pinnock and Kieran Bowie doing their thing, get Sam Hoskins involved as well. So we don't really see a lot of goals from our central striker, because a lot of it will come from the wings, will come from the likes of Hoskins nipping in of a Pinnock ball in and things like that. So it'll be very... Well, he tries and he wants it to be in your face. He wants it to be high energy, and he wants us to play in a certain sort of the right way, I guess you could say, which after Keith Cole football was a massive relief. And you could see what we're trying to do a lot of the time. Sometimes it comes off, sometimes it doesn't. But and I think it's kind of where we are in the league is probably around about right as to whether that's coming off sometimes and not on others.
Yeah, interesting. Obviously, you mentioned about a couple of the names there. What are the sort of, or who are the key players that we should be keeping an eye out for?
So Mark Lennon's probably the key player, is on loan from Brighton. He was with us last season as well. So he has been playing quite deep last season. He played fairly deep, just starting off attacks. So it'd be if you imagine a typical Brighton side, you're going to pass and move and everything like that. He'll be the one that's starting that move off. So from the base, he'll collect the ball and start attacks. Against Burton, he played more of a number 10 role, which was something we've not really seen from him, but a lot of us have been calling for, because he's got such a great pass on him. He's got such good technique about him. A lot of us have been calling for him to move forward a little bit more. With Jack Sowerby back in the team now as well, it meant he could push a little bit further forward, and he reaped his rewards, scored a great goal against Burton. And hopefully, if he can stay in that role as well, he just makes everything tick, and he's got that little bit of extra quality. I think sometimes he's on a different wavelength to everyone else, which is on a completely different... You know, when you get the players that are on a completely different level in their minds, it sometimes doesn't really come off because other players aren't on the same wavelength, but for the most part he's just got such quality about him that he'd be the one that does something on Saturday, if anyone.
Yeah, for sure. So there's certainly players there that can hurt us then, which will be I'm sure reassuring for everyone listening. I guess the big question is then, how do you see it going? Are you smelling blood after our last result, or is it wary of us bouncing back?
I mean, I'm a typical football fan, so I'll always think the negative out of everything. If you'd have gone and battered Posh 5-0, I would have come up with, they're off, the momentum's with them, you know, all that kind of thing. You say in your head as a football fan, don't you? But having you, now that you've been beaten 5-0, I'm thinking, oh, you're going to come back and want blood. You're going to be hunting us down, and you're going to be throwing everything at us to try and put that right. So in my head, I'm probably thinking, you come in here to prove a point, and it's going to be a really difficult game. And we just spoken on our previous show as well about how you set up, and that kind of worries me a little bit in terms of if you want to be organized and you want to set up a couple of banks of four and try and stop us from playing, that's usually the type of team that we struggle against. So that's put a little bit of doubt in my mind as well. And you know, it could go either way, I think.
Score prediction?
I'm going to stick with what I said earlier, probably 1-0. I'm going to go for 1-0 Cobbers win. It's going to be a really tight game, I think. Potentially we nick an early goal and go from there. And you have said, I think, that you struggle when teams score the first goal against you. So I'm hoping more than anything that we nick a goal and we get a good 3 points. But it's going to be a tight one. It could really, really could go either way.
Yeah, to be honest with you, myself, I really can't tell how it's going to go. I think it could go one or two ways. And obviously there's a way that I hope it goes, and a way I very much hope it doesn't go. So look, let's see anyway. But in the meantime, Danny, thanks very much for joining us. Really, really appreciate your time, and all the best for the rest of the season.
Cheers, Matt. All the best to you.
Excellent stuff. Thank you both, Danny, and a big thank you to Tom. Tom not only did that interview for our podcast, but he spent 45 minutes talking to the It's All Cobblers podcast to help preview the game from their perspective. And I'll be honest with you, Matt, I couldn't think of anything worse right now than spending 45 minutes talking to randoms about Cambridge United, not after the weekend, the last game that we played at the weekend. I'm still not ready to go and chat to other fans about Cambridge. So yeah, well done, Tom. You're a better man than I am for doing that one. Oh, right. Saturday. Do you think we'll be a wounded tiger? Matt, do you reckon we'll go for it? Do you reckon we'll really,
so. Yeah.
really go and make things right?
Everything we just described, you know, we've got to go and have a go at it. I want to see that away end really getting on Sam Schering's back as well. Give him grief. What a turncoat.
Singing the song.
Sing the song. We're not singing it. Not again.
not again. I mean, given last Saturday, sorry, not last Saturday, last match day Saturday that we played, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Given, you know, one win in 11, how big is Saturday, do you think, in terms of sort of not only putting things right for, you know, hurting fans that just saw us lose to our biggest rivals, but also, you know, steadying the ship a little bit and, you know, nullifying that kind of talk about our poor form and so forth.
I think that's it, isn't it? It's just, it sounds negative again. As I was saying earlier, it's like the damage of going there and losing and it being a poor performance, it will be a real compounding effect. I think it's going to really, it's going to cause a few things to happen. One, it's going to, people are start getting a bit wobbly. People are going to be looking at the league table, which we look at anyway, but they're looking at it in a different way, if you know what I mean. People are going to be looking at the form table because we will then be sliding down the form table for sure. So I think again, I would take the two games as a block, right? Just like we're always saying, like, even if we lose on Saturday, if you go and win next Tuesday, you'll say it's fine. There's at least some optimism. You know, a win means we've scored. Good things are happening. I think the most important thing, and I'm worried this will bleed into how we actually set up for the game, is that we don't go there and lose. And I sense that is how we're going to approach the game.
Yeah.
I
mean, given that look at the league table, it's only 3 points between us. So there's a few places, but if we were to lose on Saturday and Northampton Tour to win,
stop that,
it would drag us right into that picture. So yeah, maybe it's my turn to throw in a little bit of a negative angle on it there. Before we talk about who we think will sort of start for us, Danny in the preview there mentioned that one of the Northampton strengths is sort of out wide and on the wings. And that's a big, you know, big sort of part to their play. So it's going to be a big weekend for whoever's playing on the wide areas for us, both fullbacks and further forward, covering them. It kind of feels like a bad weekend to be playing a team whose strength is out wide, because it's been a topic for quite a while now about questions over both fullbacks, Bennett and Andrew, and then also questions about those in front of them in terms of covering them and so forth. So I'm not sure what my question here is, Matt, but I guess it's just one to sort of say, I think it might be a big weekend for those that play out wide for us to maybe silence some critics and also have to put in quite a big shift to nullify Northampton's biggest strength.
I mean, it's a shift is what we're after, right? This exactly is the best way of describing what I am hoping and expecting to see on Saturday, is like a shift. It's just the best way. I need to see people working hard. I understand what you're saying about the fullbacks from the preview. If they're strong on the wings, they are weaker somewhere else, right? Like,
nice. Love that.
Do you know what I mean, though? Like, we can be worried about what they're going to do to us, but why don't we make them worry more about what we're going to do to them? Like, why don't we take the game to them? It won't matter how good they are on the wings if they don't have the ball, right? If they can't get the ball to their wingers, then it is almost irrelevant. So I think we need to be really, like, in their faces, on the front foot. Maybe what I'm describing is the badgeless football fan, you know, the dream. But just put in a, you know, we've had 2 weeks off, put in a really high energy, passionate performance. It is still a derby. I know it's not the derby, but it's still a derby for us. We still will be backed by 1,500 away fans. You can probably say at least 1,200 or 1,300 of those went to the Peterborough game. So you've got a really good opportunity to take roughly the same set of people and, you know, give everyone something to be happy about and excited about, and sort of draw a line through or under the what happened at Peterborough, basically. So I get what you're saying, and the fullbacks thing is interesting, and it's definitely becoming a bit of a recurring theme. The same thing I said after the Peterborough game, it's a systemic problem, right? It's not necessarily a fullback problem. Like, if your fullbacks are being left exposed one-on-one every 5 minutes of a League One game, then yes, they're going to be culpable at some point, because you simply can't resist that amount of pressure, right? It's not possible for a player to be isolated in that way time and time again and expected to 100% be able to, like, repel what is coming their way. Obviously, they can do better. There have definitely been mistakes, but the whole team as a collective needs to sort of deal with it, really. Like, same thing I said after the Peterborough pod after the game. We've got two holding midfielders. Where are they in these moments? Like, mm-hmm. pay at Northampton, pay really close attention to all of it in terms of, like, where is all the personnel when the fullbacks are being singled out? Because it's really easy. Everyone looks at the winger and they're like, well, where's Janne? Where's Brophy? But, like, where are the holding midfielders? Like, where's everyone else who is supposed to be also involved in defending this? We defend as a unit, you attack as a unit, right? Where's the accountability for, like, all the players on the pitch who should be involved in preventing these situations, or even preventing the fullback being left one-on-one? So it's an interesting thing, definitely.
I think you wanted to touch on this point a second ago, so now seems like a good time to talk about it. But yeah, going into Saturday and setting up to not lose, like, is that maybe the thinking? Is that maybe the response from Bonner there? And then adding into that, Danny in the preview earlier said, you know, Northampton struggle to play through defensive teams. They can't, you know, they struggle against, you know, two banks of four. So with that in mind, and talking about the new training ground up on the wall there with all the notes and so forth, where they're going to put up the team sheet. It's your turn to put up the team sheet, Matt. Like, who do you think is going to start on Saturday? What sort of formation and personnel?
Who I think is going to start? Or who do I want to start?
I'll take both, mate. I'll take both.
Take both. God, how much time do we have?
But who you want to start has to be a Cambridge player. You can't start listing off.
I see.
You know, players from, you know, Venice FC or whatever.
That's it. Just Glenn McConnell all over. I think it'd be the same back four. This is all caveated by the assumption that they're all fit and nothing has gone on.
Just a reminder, we're doing this before the presser. So, you know, if everyone's injured, we don't know that yet.
We don't know that yet. And yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I think it'll be the same back four. Obviously, Stevens in goal. I think the two biggest areas that we need to address from Peterborough are the centre midfield stuff, which was a complete bin
fart.
Was
so bad.
I don't want to go over it again, but everyone who was there and anyone who watched the game can see it didn't work. It was a failed experiment, is how I describe our, probably the entire midfield, but definitely the centre midfield area. And then I think we'll see changes on the wings. I assume, obviously, Kai Kai missed the game late on, but I assume he'll be back in the mix on the wing. And then I think Ahadmi will come back, as again, assuming he's fit. I think Ahadmi will probably start the game. And I think, to be fair, with everything I've described that I'm looking for in terms of high energy and pressing and making it uncomfortable for Northampton, and I think it makes sense. I do think that the approach will be similar to what we've seen earlier in the season, where we're going to try and sort of stay in the game and then work on counter-attacking, which, as you said earlier, like, it worked so delightfully well at Fleetwood. It was really fun to watch. So hopefully we get back to something like that. And yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. What do you think, George? What are you after?
Yeah. Interesting one, isn't it? There's a part of me that's wondering, had they spent the extended time not in a, you know, not playing a competitive game, have they used that extended break on the training field, looking at a new shape or a new system?
Christmas tree.
Would love to see a 3-4-3 or a 4-3-3 or something come in, but I very much doubt it. Part of me thinks he will stick with the 4-1-4-1. I guess the big question is, will Cousins be fit to play? I'm assuming he will be.
I really hope so.
And if he does do that, then it's a question of, you know, the two central persons behind the solo striker. I agree. I think Gassan comes back in as the main striker, but does he play, you know, Digby and Lancaster? Does he play Thomas and Lancaster? Digby and Thomas? That's where I think will be sort of the big one on Saturday. I've got a feeling he won't drop Digby, although I would quite like to see Thomas and Lancaster playing together there. But We shall see. Right, before we finish, I thought it would be fun to get all nostalgic and talk about past Northampton away trips, because we've done a few, you and I, in our times.
Been some good ones, man.
I've written a couple down on the running order. I feel like I've probably nabbed the two best ones. So do you want to steal either of them based on the description, or do you have any different ones?
No, I think the Adam Tan. The Adam Tan one.
That's my favourite of the two that I've got written down. So
it's one of those games where you can just describe. I mean, when was it? 2003? 2002?
This is the thing. Like, I can't remember the year. Yeah. I can't remember the year. And I'm pretty sure it was an Adam Tan goal. But the way
it was,
I always...
It definitely was. Yeah.
The way I describe the game, and everyone goes, everyone that was there or a fan at the time sort of sighs and goes, oh, yeah, I remember that. It was the night that Franco Naka got injured. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
That was like his last ever. That's it. A career appearance, and that was it. Such a sad way to remember the game. But yeah, I remember getting there fairly late. So the guy that drove me there, we ended up sort of sat nearish the front anyway, and then that turned out to be a godsend because when Adam Tan popped up with the winner, we were like able to just run to the barrier, and just a massive bundle started. So yeah. Good times, that one. I'm pretty sure that was a midweek.
It was midweek. I'm looking at it now.
As was the other one I've got down as a great Northampton memory, which I think was a year or two before it. And I was reminded of this because someone put the highlights on the message board earlier in the week. But we won 2-0 there, and Ian Ashby scored an absolute rocket of a free kick. And again, it was dark. So I think it was a midweek one. So it doesn't bode well for playing there on Saturday. All the good memories come from midweek.
Might be dark.
Yeah.
Can't think of any good Saturdays. Deegan, we didn't win there when Deegan scored, did we? That was a draw, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the only other sort of one I was thinking of. So yeah, some good times there. We'll skip over the defeat there on the Conor Calderwood. That was pretty dismal. Similar sort of time of the year, I think, maybe. Right. Are we going to do it on Saturday, Matt? Are we going to win? What is your score prediction, please?
I think it'll be 0-0.
Really?
I think it'll be 0-0, and we will be relatively content with it, because the post-rationalisation afterwards, you'd be like, well, it's another team that's sort of down there in our individual league. If you go away and get a clean sheet in League One, that is a good thing. After you've just been humped 5-0, it's probably good to keep a clean sheet. I think there'll be enough to be positive about, but I wonder if our all the same issues we've had over the last 6, 7, 8 weeks of not really creating chances, I wonder if it's just going to persist. I would take 0-0 as well, which is maybe...
Another away game without a goal, though.
I just want to see how long I can keep it going.
Would you not rather a 1-1?
I would rather a 1-1, but I would take a 0-0.
So on Moosenet, I've gone 2-1 Northampton, but I am contemplating changing it back down.
This will be good. I can't remember what I put, but I have a top tip. Moosenet is always predict all the games when they come up.
So in case you forget,
what have I put? So this I clearly did before the Peterborough game. I've got us to win 2-1. I got Paul Digby to score. So
could happen,
God knows, and then we're going to beat Lincoln according to my Moosenet 1-0, so this is great.
That'd be great. I'd take that 6 points. Yeah. Lovely stuff.
6 points, a Digby goal, which is always fun. Michael Morrison goal against Lincoln. This is going to be great.
Excellent. Right, there you have it then. We're either going to draw, lose or win. It's great. Yes. It's great UTAS predicting, as always.
Always.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We will be back on Monday morning with the review show. And then a quick turnaround until Lincoln on the Tuesday night. Busy after a nice break. But it's been fun, Matt. Thank you, mate.
I've enjoyed. Good to see you, mate.
Thanks, everyone. See you soon.